are the men that pick for scraps amongst the ruins at the end of history? You should know, because you encounter them every day. Between the towering buildings of a fallen empire, we find the Fellaheen, the historyless men, who know nothing of the turning of the cosmic wheel and find themselves outside of civilization itself. Cut loose from the great chain of being, they represent the loam into which our dying culture will return. That is, unless we choose to take up the burden once again. This Fellaheen condition is the subject we explore in issue 4 of Islander Magazine, on sale while stocks last and available worldwide at shop.lotuseaters.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. I'm your host Stelios and I'm joined by Brother Harry today.
Thank you, Brother Stelios.
For podcast number 1235, and this is Thursday the 21st of August.
That's right, apologies.
2025. Not 2024, not 2026, 2025.
Yeah, well, apologies if I seemed a bit distracted. I was simply admiring this copy of Islander. Many have asked how the contents are. I wouldn't know. I can't read. But it looks very nice.
Are you going to give us a sign us with an autograph with X? Can you read? Can you write, Harry? No. Brother Harry?
No.
It's overrated. No. You don't need it.
Long-time viewers of the podcast may have noticed at this point. Hopefully, they've picked up on the signs that I'm actually completely retarded.
I don't think that this is the case, my friend. Right, so today we are going to talk about how you should all say hello to your shoplifters. The iDubbbz situation is getting worse, and random cringe trends that you absolutely don't want to know about. So if you proceed...
Click anyway.
You proceed with caution, and it's your responsibility. It's like the parkings, where they say, you know, you just park here, but if they steal it from you, it's not our responsibility. Right, so... The shoplifting epidemic is not particularly good at the... in the country right now. It seems to have hit an all-time high. We have this article here from July. Shoplifting epidemic sees 3 thefts every day per minute. Right, the crime has hit a record high and is happening at nearly double the rate from 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, it was a particularly bad year. They say that the year 2003 to 2004 was particularly bad in some respects. But things have been getting worse.
I do remember, I think it was AA spoke about this years ago, that it was around 2005, 2006, that the Blair government started to really come down hard on crime. So I would imagine that that was inspired, motivated by this massive crime wave that happened back then. But no, crime waves aren't good. Typically speaking, shock news for everybody out there, more crime in society typically is a bad thing.
It is a bad thing. And I think that that's again going to be shocking for people who may be leftists, that the way to solve crime is with police force. Just, there's no other way of saying it. Right, so there are some very disturbing statistics that I'm going to give you here from this article. So shoplifting is at an all-time high. They say that from the period between March 2023 to 2024, we had 444,000 recorded offenses. So that's huge. That's a lot. And bear in mind that when we're talking about recorded offenses, they're not all the offenses. A lot of people just don't report them because they don't think anymore that the police is actually going to help them.
Well, I mean, my missus worked in a brand shop. A while back, just a convenience place where it sold a bit of everything, and it was in a somewhat bad neighborhood, and they had shoplifters every single day.
Wait, what do you mean bad neighborhood?
Bad neighborhood as in bad neighborhood.
Okay.
And there was lots of poverty and lots of crime in the area, and people would come in every single day and shoplift. Sometimes an entire aisle would almost get cleared out. Not an aisle, but an entire shelf could almost get cleared out. And they were basically just told, don't do anything about it. They had security, but the security didn't do anything about it. And most of the security would ask them to stop, but would never lay hands on the person. I don't know if they were worried about legal repercussions, but given how much shoplifting was going on, they weren't reporting it to the police. There was no point. They did nothing to stop it. Staff could do nothing to stop it. So it just went on and on and on and encouraged more of it.
And sometimes it's not just people walking in and nicking something and leaving. They have weapons.
And oh, yeah.
They're threatening
personnel.
Well,
I've been the victim of that.
Sad to, sorry to hear. Right, so there was that was between March 2023 to 2024, in that period. What do you think about the period between March 2024 to March 2025? There was a 20% increase. And there were 530,643 recorded offenses. Reported offenses. So there was a 20% increase from last year.
Damn.
And they say that the rate of shoplifting is double the rate of shoplifting 2 decades ago. And they're saying that basically there are more than around 10,000 thefts per week, more than 1,400 thefts per day, about 3 thefts per minute, and an estimate of 2.5 billion pounds, you know, essentially lost, because it's 1.8 billion pounds stolen and 700 million pounds extra spent on extra security. So that's a huge...
I wonder what else has doubled in rates since about 20 years ago as well.
That's a good question. And also I think that there isn't just that. There's also the... Obviously, there is influx of people from several areas of the world. And some of which, you know, show groups that are vastly overrepresented in crime across several categories. It's just data, it suggests it. But it's not just the overrepresentation.
It was a co-op my missus used to work at, and we've got one up on here. Co-op shops hit by almost 1,000 crime, shoplifting, and antisocial behavior incidents every day. Yeah, that would make perfect sense for me, given my experience with my missus used to work at one.
Right, and...
police failed to respond in 71% of serious retail crimes reported. And that's why one of the reasons I would imagine that they just didn't report them at all. Because, well, if the police aren't going to do anything about it, what's the point of the police?
Exactly, and that's not just the whole story, because we have these numbers, and these numbers are just... The reported ones. A lot of the time, the police, the people think that the police isn't going to help them. Shop owners don't think that the police will help them, so they just sometimes don't bother reporting crime.
Yeah, and that leads to a situation where the police don't report to it, but they would potentially report to it if a shop owner or staff member did something forceful to prevent shoplifting, meaning that you've got this situation where you would be more likely to be persecuted for defending your property against theft than the criminal would be in danger of being in trouble for actually stealing it, giving this weird incentive where it's basically free to commit crime.
Exactly, and the police right now is essentially being told to oversee the desired racial relations of whoever happens to be bureaucrat, which means that in many cases the approach to justice is neither the retributive one nor the forward-looking one, which says, well, let's, irrespective of whether the criminal deserves punishment or not, let us punish them for the good of society. We have approaches like restorative justice, like Sadiq Khan's London, restorative justice. Let's have these this poor people, and let's have sit down and have a good discussion, and we're going to recognize them, and we're going to raise their self-esteem, and we're going to tax people more in order to give them benefits so they don't have to steal, so they steal one way or another. No.
And they still go out and commit crime.
So we have here from Manchester in 2023, have co-op shops hit by almost 1,000 crime, shoplifting, and antisocial behavior incidents every day. 71%, as you just said, of serious retail crime is crime that the police fails to respond to. Right, and we have here another example from this year. Police let shoplifter go, is seen stealing from Sainsbury's moments later. So the man was then spotted stealing from Starbucks. And I think that this is ultimately political, because the police can do its job, but there are also people within the system who are saying, well, no, we need to actually have, you know, we need to actually treat some people with the particularly delicate treatment.
Mm. Well, there'll be policing guidelines for how to deal with this sort of stuff, and it'll be handed down from institutions like the College of Policing. I don't know if that's exactly where they get their guidelines from, but I would imagine it's them or someone similar. And they will be very politically motivated organisations. So, I mean, Peter Hitchens was complaining 20 years ago about how the College of Policing was organised in such a way that it was preferential for people coming in to have university degrees. They set all of these different standards where you needed to have university degrees, and of course universities acting as gatekeeping mechanisms, social programming institutions. You come through university, you go to the College of Policing, and you have a very particular set of values that have been pushed into you that will influence how you decide to deal with crime.
Absolutely. Just an example that comes to mind is Ricky Jones, that we did two segments on this, but he essentially, if that wasn't an incitement to violence, I don't know what is.
There's a direct call to violence.
A direct call to for, you know, people's throat to be cut. And he got away with it by jury trial. Mm. Because the people who were members of that jury, you know, that body, decision-making body, they had the values that you mentioned.
And there was also a high chance in the constituency that it took place in that there was ethnic reasons for the potentially for the jury letting him off as well, in-group preference.
Yeah, but Harry, there are several schools with respect to how you deal with crime. One is you deal with it by overwhelming force from the very beginning, so you don't allow it to grow. But then there are other things, because I wonder sometimes whether I'm a bit, you know, insensitive and callous about it. It seems like Lancashire Constabulary would say that I am.
In what way?
In the way that they have Operation Vulture going. Operation Vulture. That's actually a good name to when you're talking about shoplifting. But they are failing marketing 101, which is do not overpromise and underdeliver. Right. So Lancashire Police's Operation Vulture is cracking down on shoplifting. And what is their main piece of advice?
And something like Operation Vulture, you hear the name like that and you expect that it's just shoot on sight and leave them for the vultures.
No. It's not say hello to my little friend. It's say hello.
Simply
say hello. Because, you know, Harry, if the people who steal because the others are impolite. Shop owners are impolite. So when they walk in, they don't say hello.
Of course.
And that's the root of crime.
They're crying out for social attention. They just want a nice hello. It's because we've forgotten manners in this country.
Exactly.
Because the old man isn't giving you a good morning as he walks his dog that day.
I didn't like the way he looked at me.
I'm going to have to go steal now. This is the same kind of logic where people say, well, communities are over-policed, which is why they commit more crime, or are caught committing more crime. Whereas it's like, to me, I would get the feeling I wouldn't be incentivized or encouraged to commit more crime if the police were in my neighborhood more often. That would do the opposite for me. I'd be like, wow, best me on my best behavior because they're looking for me.
But it is essentially a cry against the decline of society and manners.
They're accelerationists.
I don't know, man.
They're Nick Land appreciators, all of these shoplifters. Clearly, they've just got a greater appreciation for post-liberal philosophy than
exactly. So say hello to customers to deter shoplifters, police tell retailers. Advice included in an online guide from Lancashire Force as store crimes surge. Who would have thought?
I know.
Who would have thought that this wouldn't work? Shop owners should have greeters saying hello to customers at the door to deter shoplifters. Lancashire Constabulary issued the advice to business owners in the wake of thefts from shops reaching a record high and recent ire in the media around shoplifters. As part of Operation Vulture, an initiative launched at the end of last year, Lancashire Police has urged businesses to introduce customer greeters in an attempt to curb crime. So if you say hello to people, they're going to be nice. So what I'm going to tell you is hello We are selling Islander issue number 4.
You got it in there.
With it. Yes, let's show it.
And you literally can't steal these because they can't be found in shops.
Yeah. $14.99. This is issue number 4. Hello. 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 It's waiting for you. Don't miss this opportunity. It's here for you. It's waiting for you. Right, so everyone should be polite, Harry, as you said, and they do it precisely because they are appreciators of Nick Land's accelerationism. So I think essentially that...
They've been reading the Dark Enlightenment. That's all it is.
Yeah, because...
I'm returning
honestly,
to the Bronze
honestly,
Age.
I don't know about this mindset. So that's what they're saying, essentially, that their human psychology is you walk into a store, and if they're not polite to you, yeah, you are about to go like a bull in a china shop.
You have broken the social contract. There was an unwritten agreement that we all agreed to at birth that exactly. says you have to show me polite manners or I can take your property.
Right.
And I think that was in Locke.
Right. So we have other examples here from Manchester Police Force, and that was from a segment I did about 2 years ago. That was a long time. And they said that it actually worked, which meant that they essentially told police officers to actually patrol areas and actually arrest people. Because why? You know what they did before, as they said in Manchester?
Not that.
And they had lots of police officers working on mental health and mental illness calls and departments. So they said, no, we're not gonna put you there, working there. We're gonna actually have you patrolling the streets.
So you're telling me that if you implement negative consequences to poor behavior,
yeah,
people commit poor behavior less.
Yes. It's like we're playing in a cop movie.
Revolutionary.
You know, we're about to catch the bad guys, and the corrupt leader of the police department tells us, no, you guys go to
work on mental illness. Oh, yeah, because he's taking backhanders from the local mob boss.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And the point is that I think the police can definitely do its work, but the point is, why, from a statesman's perspective, from a statist's labor perspective, why have the police work instead of you actually hiring people to guard their own stuff and say hello to shoplifters?
I mean, it saves the state money, I would assume. I mean, they have to save a lot of money in London at the moment because they were shutting down a load of the front desks. Yeah. So they've got all, Labour has got all of these huge budgetary black holes and deficits that they need to fill up. So why not just, you know, let people steal? I guess that's the answer.
So basically, we have taxpayers paying for police protection and police fails to respond to crime. Not because it can't respond to, but because it's, to a very large extent, a political decision, a lack of political will, not because of the police. It's lack of political will. So, yeah, get more people to just say hello to shoplifters.
And the results will speak for themselves.
Right. Okay, so Sigilstone 17 says, so is Harry's hairstyle more late career Ron White, background vampire from Twilight, or Cletus from The Hills?
Ron White, late career. Okay. Oh, I see what you're going for. It's actually just convenience, because I like wearing my hair long, but I also don't like having it in my eyes all the time. And so I do it like this. I've not done it like this for years, since I had my hair cut all the way back in 2021, and I'm remembering why I like it so much.
That's a random name says, I have barbarian fatigue, I have traitor fatigue, but most importantly, I have retard fatigue. Sorry, Harry, I guess only your IQ got taken by the eclipse.
If you're talking about the eclipse from Berserk, my innocence was also taken by the eclipse. If it's some other kind of esoteric reference, I'm sorry, I don't get it. I'm too retarded. Anyway, let's move on to the next segment. So one of the most fascinating character arcs to follow over the past 5 years or so has been Idubbbz. I did a segment on him when he did a new content cop a few months ago. He resurrected what was a very dead series to create something that was not a content cop, completely different from the previous format, was mainly him going over personal issues, as in direct personal issues, that he had with H3H3, otherwise known as Ethan Klein. It was a disaster. It blew up in his face, and not only his face, but it also blew up in the faces of those who were collaborating with him in that video. Hassan Piker is enough of a joke by himself, so his life are the negative consequences of his actions. But all of the other people who collaborated in that video went out of their way when Ethan produced a follow-up, a response video, I believe it was. It was the content nuke. That was it. Ethan produced a content nuke, I think last year or something, on Hassan Piker. And all of these people went on their Twitch streams, or at least a few of them went on their Twitch streams, to stream the entire video with no commentary, explicitly in one case, this was said on the stream, to prevent views going to Ethan, so all of the people who were watching it on the stream weren't contributing to the total view count and ad revenue going to that video.
That's sneaky.
It is. It's called theft. It's called content theft, and it's illegal. So Ethan Klein is now suing most of those people who Idubbbz collaborated with in that content cop video from a few months back. But his character arc goes back a few years now. It really starts in 2020 or 2021, I forget exactly which year it was, when his wife, whose surname he took, because Idubbbz, as it was pointed out to me, must have been desperate to take his wife's father's surname.
Why?
Well, because he's a new man.
Okay.
He's one of those
progressives who want to take the surname of his wife.
Yes, and he's got trolls remorse as well. Back in the day, he was a countercultural internet warrior who made jokey videos where he was more than willing to push boundaries and offend people, saying slurs and all sorts. Now he's got a lot of regret for that. In one of his more recent videos, he explicitly says he's very glad he didn't carry on down that path. Either way, things started changing for him when his wife announced that she was on OnlyFans. He immediately got made fun of for it, so he came out and defended it and said, "Yeah, I suppose you can all pay to see my wife naked, but I get to see it naked in person for free. It's not for free, Idubbbz. It's taking a great toll on your soul, and we can see that. It's very visible on your face and how humiliated and crushed you look every single day these days." Either way, so that happens. Then he completely by accident backfires a hit piece documentary on Sam Hyde, where he's trying to take down Sam Hyde, who at that point had been in the wilderness and a bit obscure for quite a few years since his Comedy Central show got taken down. He accidentally manages to reignite Sam Hyde's career with that by getting absolutely trolled for an hour straight in the video that Idubbbz posted himself. And then, of course, there was the content cop. Since then, it's just been one disaster after another. His creator class boxing events, the second one was a disaster. His wife continually humiliates him on live streams, where at one point she revealed that he's essentially incontinent and has bowel issues, that means that he craps himself most days. Just what you want to hear about when you're watching an Idubbbz stream. And you can see Idubbbz's face, you can see him die a little bit inside when she just drops that on a random stream.
I just don't get it. It means he has zero self-respect.
Mm.
But
part of this transformation with Trolls Remorse, a few months ago, I think about almost a year ago now, he decided that he wanted to be a bread tuber. Now, that's interesting enough in itself, because BreadTube is kind of a dead part of YouTube now. You know, there are all of those creators years ago now, people like ContraPoints, people like HBomberGuy, ThoughtSlime, that formed this small group of very leftist YouTubers. Who else was PhilosophyTube before PhilosophyTube took money from the government to promote lockdowns and vaccines and other such things? They were very leftist, promoting left-wing messages through cultural critique and such, but nobody talks about them anymore. Most of their content, if these creators release content these days, is maybe one video per year, one niche video per year, where they don't really talk about anything that's interesting. They still get lots of views, but simply because their output has been so constrained. They don't have anywhere near the same influence or relevance that they once had. But Ian just randomly decided that he was going to start commenting on cultural matters. This one from 10 months ago, where
is he criticizing modernity?
He's criticizing right-wingers in a very bread-tube-style way. The thing is, he did this one on 100... So he's talking about the trans issues here, but he's not actually talking about the trans issues when I watched this video. He's talking about the case where it was, I think it was the Algerian woman boxer at the Olympics, who a load of people like J.K. Rowling and Logan Paul and Piers Morgan thought was a man because she looked quite mannish, but then there was testing and other things done to prove that she was actually a woman who just looked mannish. So he was criticizing that. But that's an easy subject, right? Because a load of people got it wrong because they immediately jumped onto a bandwagon and got really, really hysterical about it. So it's very, very easy for him to come out and go, all of these people were wrong, they're all massive idiots, for half an hour. He also went over this about half a year ago almost now, your body, my birth vessel, where he's kind of talking about abortion, but also kind of talking about some centre-right hypocrisy with some of these people who have got very, very strict ideas of gender roles and a woman's place in the household and how a woman should organise her life, when she should do things, while their own personal circumstances and lives don't reflect that at all. You know, they're all like, oh, have children at 21, raise your kids and then go have a career, when like all of these people basically have career-orientated wives who later chose to be mothers. So it's very, very easy to comment on hypocrisy like that. In terms of the actual abortion arguments, he doesn't really address those at all, other than just shrugging his shoulders and saying, hey, you know, women can do whatever they want because it's their body, their choice, right? He's going through the typical non-arguments for privacy and agency, the kind of things that were supporting Roe v. Wade. And those two videos, because there are some points in which he's like pointing out obvious failures on the part of centre-right commentators, they're not the worst things in the world. But then
it's mostly that he has some okay takes every now and then, but it's basically his lifestyle that's...
Well, it's easy wins,
but his lifestyle seems to be problematic.
His lifestyle is completely and utterly degenerate. He's been at the end of a long string of failures in his personal life for the past 5 years or so. He, of course, tries to explain them away, but when your wife is on OnlyFans and you have a very public and obvious rivalry with Sam Hyde, who keeps trying to appear at like Creator Clash and you keep banning him from doing such things, to the point where loads of people opted out of Creator Clash because of the fact that he was trying to gatekeep Sam out of it. When you have such a public and obvious hatred and rivalry with this person and your wife is on OnlyFans, it's not great when your biggest rival, the man you hate more than anybody else in the world, can just on live stream look up your wife's nudes and laugh at them on stream with his entire office. Now, one of the reasons that men tend to be a bit insecure about the idea if their missus has a high body count is because, frankly, you don't want to walk down the street and pass by some other guy that's shagged your wife. And that would be a really horrible thing to do. That's kind of supposed to just be between you two. It's a personal thing. But if, say, you get married to a woman who's been with half the town, that's a bit humiliating because it's not specific to you. It's not precious to you anymore. Everybody's been there.
It shows something about the content of her character.
That too. But imagine if it was the worst person you know. The guy you hate more than anybody else in the world. Your childhood bully. Imagine that. And imagine you're at the pub and he can just walk up to you, lean in real close and whisper in your ear, does she still do that thing? No. But that's basically what iDubbbz has done to himself by being okay with his wife flashing her ass on the internet. The utmost humiliation. But the most recent controversy has come because he uploaded this a couple of weeks ago. Are you scared of immigrants? Which is a much more difficult subject to discuss in the current climate than the other ones where you're pointing to, well, here's just a situation where they got it wrong. And here's a situation where even on the right, there are divisions between people who consider themselves pro-life to the utmost degree and other people who draw lines down it, and you can kind of argue across drawing those lines. This is much more difficult right now, especially when he's in Europe, not talking about immigration in America, but immigration in Europe as an American.
What I find particularly interesting is that it is the same channel, and the one, this has 46% K dislikes and 19K likes.
Yep.
Whereas the other one has a sort of the opposite ratio.
Yeah, you can see here the like to dislike ratio. There's still a fair amount of dislikes on these ones, but this has been...
What did he say there?
This one has been a complete disaster for him. Well, there is a...
2 weeks ago.
There is a lack of strong arguments in this because of the fact that he's on shaky ground. He's responding to direct realities. He can basically just point to, you're racist, bro.
I mean, the point is, if someone is happy with having his wife on OnlyFans, I mean, I don't care to listen to him because his value system is so different
to
mine.
You're gonna listen to him anyway. You're going to listen to him anyway. So,
which is why I'm going to actually get revenge.
Oh, you're going to get revenge on me. Segment. You're going to get revenge in the next segment. But let's listen to just a few clips of the kind of arguments that he's making here to see why he's really not cut out for this. He's really, really not cut out for this. And so just to set the stage, there is the travel vlogger. I think his name is Kurt Kaz or Kurt Kaj. Who goes around to different countries across the world and just documents what he sees. And there was that viral clip going around a few weeks ago of him in Rome talking to third worlders who shouldn't have been there, who were acting very aggressive to him. And that's kind of what starts this whole thing, and that's what he's responding to here. So let me just get it here, and we can see what arguments be made. So here's Kurt Kaz's original clips.
This looks like him. Bangladesh or something. Look at this, guys.
What do you mean, or something? I would like to hear more, but you're just saying it looks like Bangladesh. Is that because there's people from Bangladesh here? Or are you just assuming where people are from? There's a lot of people with brown skin in the world, and they don't all come from Bangladesh. I don't know, do they have fresh fruit and vegetables in Bangladesh? I mean, that's one indication it might look like Bangladesh. I've seen this guy's videos, by the way. He goes to Bangladesh.
Okay, thank you. Wow, it is madness.
He's gone to a random farmer's market where the population of immigrants is a bit higher than other places in the city. And he's saying, yep, we're in fucking Bangladesh.
Look at the state of this place.
You mind telling us what the state is?
Look.
Dirty, unkempt, disorganized, disordered, loud, rowdy. It's the typical gaslighting arguments that you would expect, made even worse again by the fact that Ian Idubbs lives in California. He's very okay with everything that goes on in California, despite the fact that, you know, he's probably very, very shielded from it and lives in communities where the kind of non-white people that he will meet will be self-selecting so that they can fit in better in his social circles. So he doesn't get a good representative sample of what's going on here. But even then, he's from America, he comes to Europe, sees footage of Europe, of people of historic European ancestry being unhappy with it, and then just says, what's the problem, bro? What's the problem? You should be fine with this. Are you racist or something?
Does he have any argument other than, I think you're offensive? Because that's all I heard.
No, let's see the next argument that he makes along those lines.
Eyes that we're going to look at, they have an idea of what you're...
I skipped ahead a little bit far.
Look at this, guys. This is Rome. This is Europe. Does this look like Europe to you?
Yes. Yes, it looks like Europe to me. What the fuck else are we supposed to gather from this video? It's like this guy... this is so obnoxious. A lot of these...
Yes, it is. Again, it's just gaslighting, saying that don't believe the evidence of your own eyes, that it's not normal and hasn't been normal in Europe, save maybe for the height of the Roman Empire before now, for there to be hundreds of thousands and millions of non-white, non-European people to set up their own little ethnic enclaves within European major cities that change the makeup, change the demographics, and change the culture of those places. He's just saying, that's normal. He's just saying, that's normal. Don't worry about it. He then goes on, I won't subject you to any more of this. He goes on to deny that Italians are their own explicit ethnicity, who are arguably white. Depends how north or south they are. I will say we can maybe have some wiggle room there, but he basically is saying that there is, like, basically, if you're just off the boat and you have a passport, you're Italian. That's the argument that he's making. The same kind of arguments that we've heard for years now. And people, obviously, are sick of it. And he was
I'm going to hold it against you, because I will say that...
You're going to hold it against me?
Yeah, yes, because my knowledge of the left-wing, commentator sphere on media is relatively low. It's not significant. And you're actually exposing me to these people. I don't appreciate this. Brother Harry, why do you do this?
I do this because Ian was a once respected and well-liked figure on the internet, and it's kind of an interesting experiment to see what's going on with him and how much further he can go, because he's really not qualified to talk on these subjects, but he decided to anyway, and as a result, he only had the same kind of empty, hollow arguments that we expect from this. But one of the better things about it is he decided to follow up this with a 6-hour or so live stream where he was responding to a lot of the comments that were left on that video, and some of the responses that were done in, say, Reddit threads where people were anti-immigration. Let me see if I can find, this is, Callum took a few of them, and let's just see the sorts of arguments that he's making here.
In Somalia and many more countries in the Middle East, so already trying to like generalize the Middle East, 48.7% are cousin marriages. Is this a way of life you would like to import into a Western country? This is insane. This is an insane thing, because what they're not including is that this is a country is in horrible conditions in every regard.
With very
honestly, cousins. I'm not going to question the statistic. The statistic might be wrong or it might be right, but I'm not interested in fucking discovering that.
Why?
Because it doesn't change the argument. If you are, because it's the same as all the other pink washing nonsense where they're like, did you know? They're not very friendly to gay people in this country. And then they name a country that's experiencing the utmost poverty and the utmost crime and lack of healthcare and lack of all of your needs being fulfilled. So it's like, it's almost like a non-starter. It's like, why are you even talking about this shit?
Yeah, so according to that logic, if your country is poor and doesn't have the proper healthcare, you are much, much, much more likely to marry your cousin and have deformed incest babies.
If the average cousin is a 10 or a 9 or a 10.
I don't know.
Don't ignore context, Harry.
Stelios, I don't know how people do things where you're from in the world, but we don't look at our cousins that way over here, all right?
I know, I may discover I have been a Habsburg or something.
They were much closer than cousins, I'm told, mate. But yeah, so he's just saying, he's throwing out any leftist talking point possible, where I think this is a thread of quite a few of them. Where is this one? Here we go. This is the best one that kind of sums up all of his arguments quite neatly.
Yo, I mean, oh my gosh. This one. This person says, here in Italy, many of my friends have been robbed, assaulted, and it's been by North African immigrants each time. But I guess the smug Californian has ruled that drawing any kind of conclusion from that is wrong.
It is wrong. It is racist and fucking weird.
And it was to that that I tweeted out saying that leftism is a mode of thought that simply teaches people to make themselves unsafe at all times. Because apparently, according to Ian, observing objective reality in the world, noticing patterns, and coming to conclusions as a result of that, that's just racist, bro. That's just racist. You're not allowed to do that, and it's wrong. So what he's saying, my thought experiment was this. You have two neighborhoods on your way home. Left street, right street. Okay?
I'll pick the right one.
Now, let me finish first.
Because it's the right choice.
Are you jumping you're jumping headfirst into this. I might change your mind. Okay? Right. Left street is an entirely English neighborhood. But it takes, say, an extra 20 minutes to get home from your job. Right street will save you that 20 minutes, but is entirely made up of Pakistanis, and you are a lone woman trying to get home. Do you take the risk and save 20 minutes, or do you take 20 minutes extra?
I mean, it's a no-brainer. If you know, if I had a daughter and I was going to give her advice, I'd tell her, get the English road.
Well, obviously. Yes. Yeah. But
does he not want people to follow data and say that some groups, for instance, are overrepresented in crime? Why?
Because it's ideologically wrong in his estimation. You're not allowed to draw conclusions from these things. And as a result, you have to put yourself in danger. But again, as we see, Ian has put himself in danger. The Candyman's still on his way. He may have been coming for Hassan Piker, but don't get it wrong, Ian. Hassan Piker's just in the way. Sam's coming for you. But because of the fact that Ian has been going on his humiliation kink again and has been making disastrous choice after disastrous choice and allowing all sorts of terrible things to happen to himself, it is only appropriate that after this most recent catastrophe, his wife has announced that she's going back on OnlyFans. I didn't even realize she'd gone off it. So presumably he'd managed to convince her, please, Sam Hyde can look at you naked for free. Please stop. You don't
want to be an independent content creator.
Yeah, I mean, he did take her surname, so she clearly calls all the shots in that household. People are also joking that he's gone down the bread tube arc on her command. But yeah, she's back. This creator, this poster clipped it out of this, but this announcement was also accompanied by an arse shot that she posted, because I thought, no, this has to be a meme. This can't be real. So I looked it up to make sure that this wasn't just a fake screenshot. No, it's a real screenshot, but they cropped out her ass from it because she was like, my husband's just humiliated himself again. Come look at my ass. And in response to that, and this is a real screenshot as well of a real tweet, Idubbbz himself responded, I love succubi. Sorry to those who have never experienced the love of a succubus.
What?
Dude, the thing is, he's joking, but also that's the reality of what he's living in right now. Right?
I don't know. I feel disgusted by this area of discourse.
She's destroyed him, man. She's destroyed him. There's no recovering from this. Even Sam Hyde has said, you know, you need to drop Yoko Ono. You need to get some respect for yourself. Build yourself back up. But he's not going to now. He's too far gone. He won't be able to recover from this. But he might have been able to had he picked up an issue of Islander, particularly the fourth issue, which is the one that's available for sale now, which you can get on the website for $14.99. I've heard that it might protect you from multiple concussion syndrome, and if you read it, women around you will delete their OnlyFans and go on the path to Christ. That's not a guarantee. Don't take my word for it or anything. Just buy it, okay? All right, God. You people.
Right, The Engaged Few says that all he sees in an Idubbbz video is a roach in a desperate need of a hard heel and some bug spray. Alex Trusk, ContraPoints, does not want the migrant philosophy tube in her neighborhood. Apparently, she is very hands-on.
Yes, I'm very well aware.
Sigil Stone 17 says, Harry's information is out of date. iDubbbz owes money of a creator clash, so he has fled the US, is selling his house in California. It smells foul. It was lost in Canada at Anissa's parents' house.
Well, I suppose it would smell foul if he just spends all day shitting himself.
Again, that's a random name, says, don't be mad at Anissa's husband for defending the third world barbarians in Europe. After all, he doesn't want her losing any customers.
Oof. Bonnie Blue situation there. Yeah. Although you and Nick Buckley will be able to have a nice chinwag about that, I'm sure. Next Sigils, time he's in.
Sigil Stone 17. Don't forget that Anissa, iDubbbz's wife, got famous for making video of pissing herself in public and then recording sitting on her couch, still in her pissed pants. Allegedly their house smells foul.
Is that true? I thought that she was just famous for being, you know, in a relationship with iDubbbz. Yeah.
Okay, and Jesus. Again, two comments before we proceed. That's a random name again says, who is this Ian or iDubbbz y'all keep mentioning? All I see is footage of Anissa's husband waiting for her to finally fully consume him like a mantis would eat her mate.
Listen, I've speculated on how all of this ends, and I've given my result, I've given my conclusion many times, and it doesn't end very well. Cripple crossface will be applied. No, I'm joking. Sigil Stone, I don't know if you meant to post it again, but we've already read that.
Yeah, we've read it.
It showed up again.
There are several cringe trends that you don't want to know about, but also sometimes you do want to know about because they're dangerous. Some of them may be dangerous. Some of them may be funny. They may be a bit disgusting. Cringe, good laugh, but also some of them can be dangerous. And I will say that, Harry, I have detected some trends that are particularly, they are simultaneously funny and disgusting.
Scanned.
And doctors found out that some of them are particularly dangerous. And I will talk about them.
Oof, you got me hooked.
Right, so if you don't consider yourself to be someone who is a member of disgusting trends, and you are not, because you're an audience, you can buy Islander number 4. Issue number 4, it's $49.99. You have a great opportunity now to buy it. It's about, it has great articles from Carl, Morgoth's Review, Luca Johnson. Buy it. Buy Islander. Just $14.99. Not even $15. $14.99. Right. So, Harry, do you know what yarn makeup is?
Yarn makeup?
Yeah.
No.
Right. So, I want to actually, I want to show you what it is because you showed me some disgusting things in the previous segment, so I have to respond. You know, I can't just let it sit.
And judging by the final results in the right-hand side of the image here, I mean, it's at least impressive.
It is impressive, but look at what's going on here. Look at what this lass is doing.
Oh, okay.
It's a TikTok trend, so anything on TikTok is mostly cringe. Right, so what is yarn makeup and why are so many people trying it despite the pain? Because it's particularly painful.
Wait, the
so
pain?
Look at this lack.
Oh, yeah, actually.
So Nettie Lombardi is an 18-year-old makeup artist and influencer based in Connecticut. She saw her friend Anna Murphy, a Canadian makeup artist, post about using yarn for makeup, a trend that involves gluing yarn to your face and painting over it with makeup, which has since gone worldwide. She knew she had to try it, so she posted videos of the different looks on TikTok where they went viral, amassing millions of views. What do you think of it, Harry?
This is very Faustian.
Why? I want to hear your deep philosophical trend.
The Faustian is because you are... Oh, God, they are just sticking it to their face, aren't they? The Faustian nature is you are producing something that is impressive. It's an impressive display of technical skill and artistry. The pact with the devil part comes that when removing it, you may rip your face off.
Face off.
Yeah.
Right.
Which so, can still be an impressive piece of art okay, after so you've that, taken your face off.
That's your take. It's an issue of modernity that has to do with a Faustian pact
this is,
with the devil.
This is the Faustian spirit.
This is the Faustian spirit. And do you... And do you think, I think actually this means that there's an infantilization of people. It's just that we have too many morons. And because we have too many morons, we have adult pacifiers. Now, do you know of this trend? Do you know of adult pacifiers? Do you feel the need to have a pacifier at some point?
Oh, no.
Harry, what do you think? Do you occasionally need a pacifier?
This is just autism. This is just autism. Find a healthier way to stim, you retards.
Imagine we appear on the podcast with adult pacifiers. God forbid.
Can we also have the little bibs and the little propeller hats as well?
Stressed adults rely on pacifiers to soothe themselves. I feel a sense of safety from childhood.
Oh, God.
The world is so unsafe, Harry. The world is so unsafe. We need to have safe spaces. So let's not have policing. Let's have adult pacifiers.
Young adults in China are doing it. What?
When the going gets tough, pop in a pacifier.
Can you imagine? Like, I've never been to China. I would like to try going there at some point. It seems like an interesting place. But getting off the plane and everybody around you has a dummy in their mouth.
It was once a niche quirk, Harry. Brother Harry. But the silicon soothers are supposedly now big business on Chinese e-commerce giants like Taobao and JD.com, where they are priced anywhere from a budget-friendly 10 yuan to a luxury 500 yuan. $70. Imagine having a luxury pacifier. What an idiot. What an absolute idiot.
What a moron.
Yeah, look at this. Adult-sized pacifiers priced up to $70 are growing in popularity in China as a way to relieve stress and anxiety.
To be fair, this you know what? Screw it. This is a good thing in the long run. Do you know why? Self-sorting mechanisms. In the same way that people who still go around wearing COVID masks are telling me, you're a neurotic weirdo, stay away. I'm getting the same feeling from this. If I see you as a grown adult walking around in a dummy, I will not go anywhere near you.
Well, look at this lad over
here.
Look
at how happy he is.
Look at how happy he is. He says, when I'm under pressure at work, I suck on the dummy.
Right, just smoke. Just smoke cigarettes. Get a pipe. Smoke a pipe.
Like Mads is telling us.
Exactly. Like smoke a pipe.
Look at this smug face here. Hey, look, I'm so cool. I have an adult pacifier. You don't, sucker.
Just drink, day drink like the rest of us.
Honestly, this sucks. Right, so they have several videos here. If you just type adult pacifiers on YouTube, you have people wearing them.
Freaks.
Look at this here.
Freaks and or trend chasers. Everyone.
Look at this guy over here.
Look, he's trying to be like I'm like a Giga Chad with the dummy.
You will have an adult pacifier and be happy. That's WEF 2035 agendas. Okay, I want to say something. I absolutely hate food podcasts. I absolutely hate them because why on earth would I want to see someone just eating? It's absolutely gross. Sometimes it's good food, but why on earth would I want to see it?
And hear them chewing directly into the microphone. That's the worst part.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, this is a very cringe trend. And I have to say that this meal was a complete non-starter.
Boom.
This here. Munching.
Jesus.
Honestly, that's now one of my favorite videos.
People almost
stop this food podcast, you know,
dying and almost getting shattered glass all over them, and you're just like, serves you right, you fat pigs.
I mean, most probably this is someone who forgot to put the reverse and put drive. Yeah. But I'd like to think it's someone who's an absolute hater of food podcasts. You're not gonna do this, not on my watch.
Sat at the dinner table with the camera and gone, that's the final straw.
Not on my watch.
Shifts into first gear.
Right, so we talked to you about food podcasts. They're absolutely disgusting, but now we need to talk about drink, about liquids. And I have to say, Harry, is that coffee you have there?
It was, but I drank it.
You drank it, how?
By ingesting it through my mouth.
You ingested it, but you did not inject it.
No. What? No.
Okay, so you don't know what I mean. What I'm about to talk.
Inject coffee.
Right.
Inject
so
it where?
I'm going to show you something, and then I'm going to tell you about what experts say, because this is actually a dangerous trend. You know, coffee enemas.
Yes.
Right. So there are people who actually wake up the day to say, "Well, I can't do anything other than have coffee," and instead of making a normal cup like other human beings, they just inject it up their bottom.
See, I'm familiar with this because I think it was back in secondary school in my media class. Go back for a sec. This TLC My Strange Addiction of the Coffee Enemas was the actual video that we were shown. I don't remember why they decided to show us this one in particular, but sadly, that is where I learned.
There are lessons to extract from there, from coffee enemas.
What,
people
don't
do this.
Them?
That's one of them.
That's the only one.
That's
I can
our message.
Think of.
That's our message. That's the official message of the channel. Don't do coffee enemas.
What's this? The powerful right. benefits.
So look at this. Look at this. Because actually, this is a trend that is growing. This is not particularly a watched video that says the powerful benefits of coffee enemas explained. Then you have my addiction, coffee enemas, my strange addiction. That's 6 million views. They have a video. You look at this smug face here. So how to do a coffee enema. Remove the enema nozzle and go to the toilet. Samson is
and
killing himself.
She's so smug about it.
Yeah, look at this here.
I'm so much above you peasants.
Yeah. I'm an aristocrat. You don't know.
When's the last time you shoved coffee up your ass? You don't know me.
Yeah, we have the science talking about coffee enemas, helpful or harmful. And we have this ginger dude here. We will talk about him, but you see what he's doing with his...
I mean, he looks somewhat less smug about it.
No, actually, he's very smug. Because he's part of the video you mentioned. Right, so let us talk about here about what it is. On the...
Contrary to popular belief, the coffee solution is held in the colon, not the liver. Blood vessels in the lower part of the descending colon and rectum carry the solution to the liver. The potent compounds in coffee, including caffeine, theobromine, and theophylline, are absorbed by veins that route to the liver, enhancing detoxification. And three, bile production and blood flow. Coffee enemas stimulate the liver to produce bile. The co-modalities in coffee dilate the blood vessels and the bile ducts, relaxing smooth muscles and increasing the bile flow.
Now, this is a disgusting trend, but do you have people who are saying something that is actually really dangerous according to experts? And we will...
She looked exactly like the kind of woman who...
Doctors warn of risks with coffee enemas as the practice gains steam on social media. The alternative cleanse approach lacks scientific evidence and can pose health hazards. Also, we have... Where's the link? We had another link. They're saying with doctors from Birmingham are saying that it's particularly... it's a very bad practice and it has linked to some deaths in some cases. So definitely... You know, this is a really disgusting trend, but I want to show you here this dude here who is... What is the kind of person who is attracted to it?
Now I'm addicted to coffee.
Look.
But I tried it, and now I'm addicted to coffee enemas.
Look at this guy here.
Pretty much been like,
and he let somebody film him do this.
Not only film, but he says that with his wife, they wake up and they do it 2 to 4 times a day. And they say there's absolutely nothing that's going to stop us from doing coffee enemas. I really don't think this world we're living in, Harry, is a particularly sensible one. What do you think? Right, so don't do it. Now, another cringe trend I absolutely despise is ASMR videos. You know what these are?
I am aware of them.
Right, so I actually wasn't aware of them until very recently. And a friend of mine told me, that it helps him sleep. These videos help him sleep. And I asked him, right, well, what is it? Because I do have insomnia occasionally. So it showed me this. And I said, one.
Oh my goodness. Can I play with it just for a little bit? Yes.
Have you seen ASMR? Have you watched these videos before?
I've been shown it before. It's just grating to me.
Why on earth would that help me sleep?
Like the incredibly intense, like close mic. I hope that there's none of you right now who rushed for your headphones so that you could get a nice dose of ASMR for this.
Look at the ASMR. She has bimbo nails and she's hitting on a piece of plastic containing honeycomb in. And they're just whispering. What's this disgusting thing? It's annoying.
This just seems like a porn substitute for people.
Honestly, why on earth?
Because it's always women doing it. It's always women doing it. You don't get men doing this.
Yeah, this reminds me of a horror movie, you know, where you have this evil spirit trying to haunt a child. And it actually, you know, it's disgusting.
And the
also
thing...
have here, look at this here.
You've got both of them playing at the same... No, you've got all three.
Yeah, look at... She's actually trying to...
You've got all three
cast
of them
a spell
playing
on you
at
with
the same
her
time.
Her bimbo nails. Yeah, because it's, you know, symphonic.
No, it's...
Look at Harry, imagine. Why are people doing that? And look.
Again.
1.9 million views 5 months ago.
Right. This, again, is a porn substitute for some men. Or a weird kink. It has to be.
But how?
Don't ask me to explain other people's degeneracy.
What
honestly, for me, the worst thing about this, outside of that, is just that, like, there's... Turn that off. Turn it off. There is nothing more grating than someone having the microphone so close to their mouth and speaking so close into it and then smacking their lips, rolling their tongue around, sort of clearing their
doing a food podcast.
Yeah. Doing a food podcast where you can hear everything like going on in their mouth, smacking their lips. I don't need to hear all of the disgusting saliva roaming about your mouth. It's the most vile sound in the world to me. So how anybody can find that soothing or, God forbid, attractive, like, makes me sick.
Right. So I asked people on X what are the trends they consider particularly disgusting. And some of them told me the word labubu. You know what labubu is?
Isn't it some weird doll that China is selling?
Right, so I'm
to go with those dummies.
Let's just find out.
You get a free one with your $70 dummy.
We had the FA stage, now we have the FO stage.
Oh, okay.
Right, so Labubu dolls among 2,000 pounds worth of fake toys seized from Walsall Town Centre shops. Around 2,000 pounds worth of counterfeit toys have been seized from shops in Walsall Town Centre. Now, these are these dolls over here. Police issued warning to retailers about the sale of counterfeit and unsafe product. So what is this? Despite being advised to remove the items from sale, a week later, officers found the Labubu toys still on display in several shops during a follow-up operation on Thursday, August 14. This sounds really dark, man. A total of 8 bags of counterfeit toys were removed during visits to 4 premises in the town center. The doors were flogged as non-compliant with safety regulations with potential risks invoking choking hazards. Samson, could you please tell us what Labubu dolls are? Because, in fact, you told me you know.
It's like Warhammer, but for autistic women, and they want to collect something. You open them like blind bags, I think. Like you get a random box, and, it's... It's a mass marketing.
Is this like Beanie Babies? Is it like the Beanie Babies
exactly,
things?
It's like Beanie Babies, exactly.
And
like
you get, that, yes. I assume you get rare ones that go for higher value. Yeah. So it's Beanie Babies mixed with Pokemon cards for women.
Yeah, and they resell them for silly amounts of money because they're crazy.
Right, so why are they considered to be unsafe?
No, the counterfeit ones are because they're being made out of rubbish materials.
Right.
Okay. It's not that people are trying to eat them.
Right. So, and I want to end with actually a palate cleanser. Mads posting Europe Maxer is actually okay. Right. Europe Maxing is good.
Oh, no, it seems chill. I mean, I've been to Europe plenty of times, so at least continental Europe. I'm in heaven, which is just an entire aisle of white monster. And there he goes again. Yeah, Europe, especially on the coastline, can be a very relaxed place to be. Yeah. And sometimes you just want to sit around at a cafe,
yeah,
smoke and drink all day.
Yeah, exactly. But very relaxing. What I absolutely love about this account is so funny because it's, you know, as you said, it's Mads and he's effortlessly cool.
Yeah.
And stuff, but also he has this tired, you know, thing about him. Sometimes it's just, mate, I just want to relax. I'm exhausted. Yeah. That's why I know.
He's got like dad getting his 5 minutes away from the kids energy.
Right. And I like I said, the first 12 months of the year are the hardest.
And then it starts all over and over again.
Okay, so coffee enemas are bad. Right. Let's see. That's a random name says. That's a good way to end.
That's the moral of the story. Yeah. Stick coffee up your ass.
All the demonic segments. No, guys. I'm reading a comment. That's a random name. With all the demonic segments y'all have subjected us to, and now understand why Harry went with a Witcher haircut for today. Mm-hmm. Connor is smug mug. Some ASMR is cringe and disgustus. But I would say naked yoga and mukbang is more of a problem on YouTube. Bob Ross is reportedly how ASMR started.
Really? Wow. But Bob Ross was just a painter. I suppose because he spoke all soft and everything and relaxing, people may have...
Yeah.
I feel like I need to check that.
That's a random name says, the reason coffee enemas are so potent must be because they wake you right up before the liquid has even made contact.
Ugh.
Sigilstone 17, no, Harry, you imbibed the coffee, not ingested it. An American should not have to correct an Englishman on speaking English.
Thank you for paying to correct me. I will continue to misspeak so that you will continue paying us.
That's a random name again says, always look on the bright side, lads. If the number of retards reaches critical mass, we'll finally be able to get them to vote against women's suffrage because women have suffraged enough.
It's true.
Is that the people who are saying repeal the 19th?
it's a joke.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And and breaking news, Sigilstone 17 says a man has died after attempting to sit in an oven for 20 hours and eat your own shit challenge from TikTok.
From shit talk.
Sorry, guys. Right. Okay. Let's go to the comments. Do we have any video comments?
There was one more as well related to my segment, which was according to Sigil Stone, the pants pissing is how Anissa met iDubbbz. It got her brought into his circle. Is that how you initiate yourself in iDubbbz? You need to have some kind of incontinence or bowel problems. And I did mean to post it again because I thought you missed it. Oh, well, thank you very much.
Are you tired of the vacuous virtue signaling? Affluent white female leftoids or awfuls? Are you tired of academic apologists? Are you sick of dim-witted adults demanding diversity? Of effeminate elitists elevating equity over equality? Of inane, idiotic incompetence inculcating inclusion of incompatible individuals? Then buy Islander Magazine.
Thank you very much.
That's a good shill.
Yeah, nice shill there.
We have another video?
Is that the only one?
Okay,
that
great.
That was
thanks.
The only
Thank
one.
Thank you, Samson. Right, honorable mentions. Marcus Melville says, my copy of Islander today arrived today all the way down in the winters of New Zealand's South Island. Bless lads. Thank you. Right, so let's start with the comments for the first segment. Ramshackle Otter. Crone, I live in an expensive leafy suburb. Almost daily there are shoplifters wandering in with huge back pads and filling them with high value, fast moving consumer goods to resell. They walk out unmolested. The diverse security guards don't even look up from their phones. You then see stuff for sale on Facebook Marketplace. That's tragic. And essentially the guideline from the state is, you know, get more security, who is again going to do nothing. And if the police manages to arrest people, we'll probably call for them to be housed and to be given social. They're actually
they'll just fail upwards.
Essentially,
they'll be straight out onto the streets.
Yeah. Theodore Brewer says the reason Walmart has
greeters
is to discourage shoplifting. It works for Walmart, but I suspect this isn't going to help the shopkeepers of England. Well, I mean, it could work for Walmart. I don't know. But the point is, again, it's not a segment. I didn't do the segment so much about the police. I did it about the state and how the essentially anything the police does, they're gonna let them out.
Also, Walmart has guns. We don't. Sadly, yeah. I'm trying to piece through the logic. I'm imagining that on a certain level, perhaps it's twofold. One is to try and humanize the staff of the shop so that you don't feel as inclined to steal from them because they're people too. Look, they said hello to you. The other is to let them know that they're watching you. So we're people too. Also, we've got our eye on you. That kind of thing. If it works for Walmart, great. But yeah, in a little corner shop in England, which I've seen robbed before in big cities, I mean, typically the shopkeeper, whoever's standing at the counter, will say hello to you anyway. But it also doesn't change anything.
But also the most important thing is for the police to do its job and to not meet with, not be met with obstacles in doing its job. And it is. Right. Henry Ashman says, ultimately, the policing strategies in the UK revolve around the assumption that people are fundamentally good and will obey the rules. If someone breaks the rules, being told that they upset someone would be enough to horrify them into changing their ways. Sadly, the rest of the world isn't a quaint Saturday morning kids cartoon, so this will never work. We're increasingly seeing that empathy and the behaviors that allow civilization to function without brutal tyranny to enforce them are not universal and are in fact almost exclusive to northern European cultures. Now, I don't know precisely about this, but I think that a lot is correct here. And I will say about crime in general that the people who are about to commit crime, they essentially don't care about social norms.
Also, even within European cultures, it took a long time of pretty brutal application of strict laws to shape people's behavior into the way that we see these days. It doesn't come about overnight, even within people who, due to hereditary traits, are still more inclined to behave that way than others. It was still a very cultural thing as well. If they're coming from cultures that don't have that same behavior or experience, it's going to be even more difficult.
But also, the law is not for good people. The law is for people with the potential to be bad. So, right. The Lord Inquisitor Hector Rex. In some cities, there are something like 30 youths who commit 50% of the car thefts. Look into the Kia boys.
That's interesting. I'll definitely give that a look in.
Thanks, Lord Inquisitor. Arizona Desert Rat says, this makes me wonder how many stores and shops have had to close due to shoplifting. Stores don't stay open if they lose too much money off their insurance. Rates are too high. And this isn't just something that happens in the UK. It also happens in several blue states. We frequently talk about San Francisco and California and the very relaxed treatment of crime by Gavin Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so Martin Rabson says, I still pick up litter, but as most bins are now removed in my local area in South London, I'm thinking it's a lost cause. There are street cleaners, but in those small sit-in machines, and they miss most of it. It's the small things that make a community pleasant. It seems to be falling away now. When I shop in small stores, I'm polite, friendly, and always get that back towards me. They know I'm not going to abuse them. I wait patiently as they unlock my small items from the locked cases. My guess is they are expressing a little relief, but what do I know? And Jimbo G says, maybe the shoplifters experiences racism at schools like Ricky Jones, and therefore the law doesn't apply.
Well, obviously that makes everything all right, doesn't it? On to my segments. Jan Havi says, good morning, Stelios and Harry. Good morning to you too. Yeah, the iDubbbz situation was completely brutal and tragic. Also, people like iDubbbz just don't get that Europe and the US are different. That's true, and yeah, it is brutal and tragic, but I think we can't let him off the hook and feel too sorry for him, because it's entirely self-inflicted. Like he said in his video, he's so glad he didn't carry on down the path that he was originally on. This was a conscious decision, whether influenced by other people, that he has made, and therefore he has made his own bed. He can lie in it. Chance from Canada. Racism is a simplified, low-resolution strawman of the adaptive truth that many people in their cultures are vastly different and do not harmoniously coalesce. Also, it's just not as effective as it used to be. Most people are saying, you can call me whatever name that you want, that doesn't change the reality of the situation. And as you've seen, Ian doesn't really have any response to that. When people say, here's the statistics, what am I supposed to do with them? And Ian says, nothing. Ignore that they exist altogether. You can't draw any conclusions of them. He's asking you to ignore reality and put yourself in danger. Carrying on, the liberal trend towards ideological deconstruction is forcing us to relearn this ancestral truth the hard way. And yeah, it is something where if Ian were to acknowledge that, if he were to acknowledge the idea that people from different backgrounds are different in large group-centered ways, then that would destroy his entire worldview, because you're not allowed to think that, because he imports moral value on everybody being the same. I don't. I think moral value comes from your behaviors as an individual, whereas he puts moral value on the idea that everybody starts from this blank slate, which they don't.
I absolutely despise what they are doing, what the lefts are doing, because they are wrong on so many levels. One is like, they're saying, we need to focus on the potential people have, and people have equal potential, which is wrong. And they say that based on their equal potential, all should have equal treatment, which is again wrong, because what you need to reward in society is not the potential, but the exercise of potential. When you go to the doctor, you want them to cure you, not to potentially cure you.
Not to give a good try at cure.
Yeah, not to give it a good try. So as a society, you need to, everyone, we need to reward the exercise of power.
And the good exercise of
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, if you're a couch potato and you're constantly someone who does nothing, you shouldn't be given money. Like Labour now wants to do an inheritance tax to 100%. There are people
bandying about the idea, suggesting.
And Kentish on LBC and another commentator today were saying, "Oh, you did nothing to deserve it. What did you do, mate?"
Yeah. What did you do? What did anybody else do? My family earned that for me,
yeah,
so that they could pass it along. It's an attempt to break down potential rival power structures. People with money, especially people with old money, could pose a threat. So let's just eliminate that.
But see how all of them, they're essentially egalitarianism, how it brings everyone down, because they're constantly focusing on really on things like, you know, self-esteem, self-respect, you know, very subjective feelings. And they're saying, well, my political friends, they may be lazy people, they may be couch potatoes, but, you know, I want their political support. So I'll have a crazy, you know, intellectual way of justifying how I engage in resource extraction from productive people in order to support unproductive people.
Yeah, and if you're going to suggest 100%, so, I mean, depending on the personal circumstance of the family itself. So you're potentially suggesting to just, let's just make these people destitute, potentially, out of my own jealousy and petty resentment. Let's just make them steal everything they have. Great idea. Arizona desert rat, just because a country is poor doesn't mean they have to be mean to gays. And being poor doesn't mean one is unable to be charitable. There are many instances in history of groups of poor people working together to provide charity. Yeah, there's this weird cause and effect logic that he's suggesting, which is the poorer you are, the more homophobic you are. Which is like, okay, interesting. Also, those countries you're referring to aren't poor. Some of them are incredibly wealthy due to their oil resources. So that doesn't, you're wrong in the first place. Michael J. Belbis, does iDubbbz understand that succubi are soul-sucking demons? Well, he should. He should, given that's exactly what has happened to him. Arizona Desert Rat, I'm wondering why this iDubbbz guy feels like he has the right knowledge to tell Europeans what Europe looks like. Well, because he's an entitled Californian. He's sheltered, he's shielded. So, of course, Desert Rat again, the description of this relationship is giving off major abusive vibes. There is an argument. Marcus,
you have to be in denial.
Yeah.
There's no person.
A major amount of emotional manipulation. The only other explanation is that he gets off on it.
Yeah.
That's the only other.
He likes to sit on the chair.
He's the reason that they have the extra chair in the hotel. Yeah. Marcus Melville, you'll be making a segment on the suicide of Idubbbz in about 6 months, I reckon. Sam Hyde still wins. Sam Hyde does keep winning. And I don't want to make that segment, but I'll just say I wouldn't be surprised if, whether in 6 months or 6 years...
We don't want him to.
No, I don't...
We are essentially, in a good way, shaming him to change his ways because he's led down a very dark path.
Yeah. Again, like, dude...
Stop it.
Your greatest enemy can look up your wife's nudes online.
If you continue...
Anytime he wants. Yeah. Stop what you are doing right now and reconsider.
Idubbbz, if you go down this path... It's over. Stop.
You're so over.
Stop it.
And Alex Ptolemy says here, the trans boxer was actually a man. They did more tests later and found out they were born male. That's very interesting if that's true. I didn't follow up on the after I watched his original video. So if that is true, that's very interesting, but I'll need to confirm it myself.
Right. Kevin Fox says, I used to date a girl who used to use way too much makeup and would take hours to put her face on just to go outside. I suggested a way to speed up the process. I haven't read all of it, but I'm just laughing because it just sounds hilarious. So, smear her face with Vaseline first, and at the end of the night, I could slap the back of her head and the makeup would come off complete. Then next day, she could just smear Pritt stick on her face and stick the previous day's makeup back on. She dumped me. No pleasing some women.
Well, it sounds like you were ahead of the curve there, Kevin, because you predicted all of this.
Sam Weston, Brother Stelios, adults with pacifiers is nothing. Look up the video called He's a Grown-Up Baby, My Crazy Obsession full episode from TLC's YouTube channel. In it, the guy has built a cot and a high chair for himself, and he even wears an enormous onesie and hires a babysitter to look after him, despite the fact that he's 31 years old.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. I mean,
pretty sure it was before my time, but I'm pretty sure at my secondary school, one of the teachers who left the year before I started turned out to be into that.
Ramshackle Lotter says there is a booming trade in jewelry, basically teethers, dog toys, as attention-seeking jewelry for adults. What can I say? Sorry.
People
are weird.
People just need to start smoking again, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, like, there's better ways to deal with stimming and fidgeting habits, and it's just, like, just smoke a pipe or something. You don't have to inhale the smoke.
Chance from Canada says China is a rising threat to Western hegemony. Chinese adults literally sucking pacifiers.
Yeah, it does kind of change your mind on a few things, doesn't it?
Arizona Desert Rat says, what happened to chewing gum? That's super cringe and icky. It is.
Yeah.
Arizona Desert Rat says, I'm surprised neither of these people got sliced open by the glass.
Yeah, I thought that when I saw the video of it, because they get absolutely showered with shattered glass. So I honestly hope that they both turned out all right. Stelios, of course, is sitting there, hoping that they were both in like horrible condition at the hospital or something.
No, they're not. They were safe. That's why I laughed. I wouldn't be laughing if they got hit.
All right.
But that was, you know, just don't do a food podcast like that. It's just disgusting.
That's true. That's true enough.
Right. John V says, the only ASMR I can think of that's good for sleeping is something like ocean waves or rain or fire crackling. Sorry. This video is just bizarre.
Well, yeah, if you're listening to the sound of nature.
Yeah, relaxing that's music. Relaxed. I put on relaxing music because, you know, some people in the office are very loud.
I wouldn't know who you're talking about there.
Yeah. Ramshackle Otto says ASMR is enjoyed by NPCs.
I can believe it.
That's absolutely true, but not the good ASMR that John V said.
Is your friend in an NPC now that we've discovered?
No, I actually told him, just, mate, you need to stop this. if you continue this, you're going to become iDabs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stop it now.
You're going to be starting your...
What you want is bimbo nails doing like this. Just disgusting.
Yeah, right. Weird.
Based Ape says, after 36 years, I'm finally ready to say it. I'm tired of denying who I truly am inside. I need to start being honest with myself. I can't stand women.
Preach, brother. Preach.
Right. So I think, honestly, I feel a bit bad about the third segment.
Why? It was fun.
It was fun, but, you know, that's part of our predicament. Sometimes, you know, lots of things are happening and we can't decide what to do. And other weeks, there is just weeks that nothing happens. Or if things happen, they need a crazy amount of preparation that we just don't have.
The trick, when you know that you can see through the matrix, when you can truly know, is when everything seems to be happening, but you can still recognize that in reality, nothing is happening.
Exactly.
It's all nothing happening, Stelios.
Also, the fun thing is about these segments that lots of people are constantly asking for, you know, lighthearted. You're asking frequently for lighthearted segments, especially towards the end of the week. They don't do that well on YouTube or something, but it's okay. Let's have some fun once in a while.
That's all right. Just name it something outlandish, crazy, and right there on the line, and people might you might look out. It's happened to me a few times. People click if it's scandalous.
Yeah, but also Samson had a really good laugh.
That's right. And we
had a really good laugh. So,
and we do it for you, Samson.
Yeah,
definitely. That's what this whole operation
was. Was the chat happy?
They were horrified.
They were horrified. Okay, absolutely.
So Stelios has done his job.
Yeah. Now, I want to say, because we still have a minute left, I want to say to people, the lovely people in the chat, that I very frequently watch what they are writing, and I want to thank you for being there with me in some cases where I'm just zoning out, because sometimes I just don't have things to add.
Also, chat, if
and
you think...
You haven't watched that I am blinking when you are telling me, Stelios, if they're holding you hostage, blinked three times... I've done it, but I've seen that in some cases, some of you haven't noticed. What?
Don't worry, Stelios. We'll get you back in your cage after we're done. But just to let the chat know as well, right? You think some of the stuff he showed you there was bad? That's nothing. There's nothing at all compared to what he sends us on Discord in private DMs. Some of the absolute filth this man has thrown my way.
I cannot confirm this.
Yeah, but he's not denying it either.
I absolutely cannot confirm what you're talking about, Harry.
I have been traumatized beyond all recognition. If people worry about me, why does Harry have that glazed over look sometimes? It's because I'm in the trenches. Up here, I'm in the trenches, and it's flashing through.
I'm giving you some homework.
That this man has sent me.
I'm giving you some homework.
Yeah.
Right. And on that note, I think that our podcast has reached its climax. And see us tomorrow at 1 p.m. Thank you and goodbye. Thank you.